Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 69 of Season 10 of Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast, where we hijack our way through the 1974 action thriller, The Taking of Pelham 123, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again on this lovely Thursday is Heather Baxendale of Word of Hellmouth. Welcome back to the show, Heather.
Hello, that was my Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yes, I actually, when you say that, I can understand that.
Thank you. I'm happy to be back today.
Yeah, well, I hope you're going to be happy by the end of the episode once we do the trivia questions for you, but we'll see.
Oh, gosh. Now you ruined it. Now this whole time I'm going to have anxiety. My palms will sweat while we're sitting here talking because I will be getting nervous, and then I'll get inside my own head, and then I won't answer anything because I will have blocked myself. So thank you.
Okay, good.
it'll be great for everybody else. I hope you all enjoy my suffering. Sincerely.
I'm definitely going to have to enjoy your suffering. So.
Yes. Somebody must. I'm okay with it as long as it's a punchline.
Okay, that's true. I'm used to it now. By now, come on, after.
Yes.
You've been on 9 of my 10 seasons, so obviously.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, I don't do a lot of shows anymore. I don't go on a lot of other shows, but I always will come on your shows.
And that is so kind of you. So kind of you.
Oh, see, thank you for having me on. It's fun.
Well, it's always fun. Come on. Minute 69 begins with the hostages starting to actually realize the situation and ends with Blue giving the cops an order. So we left things off yesterday with everyone still being in complete disarray from the fact that that Mr. Blue has shot Bud. You know, he shot Bud 2 days ago, but still, you know, there's everyone's not really sure how this happened, why it happened, who did it, you know, which again, these are some questions that we will never get the answer to, which is fine. That's just the way you know that this movie's plot plays out, which is good. And this minute starts off with a shot of the hostages, and we see that these hostages are now, any of them who didn't think of it up until now know that there's no question that they mean business here. You know, they've just killed one of them, and we can even see the old man has his hand over his eyes, as if he's also crying over the fact that that they killed Bud. You know, they killed the conductor. And
I think co-ed number one is probably very thankful for co-ed number two at this point also, because otherwise.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah,
I would agree with you on that. But again, that goes according to your theory. My theory is it doesn't make a difference.
true.
But when we look at it from your theory, so yes, I agree.
Yes. According to my theory, that she is much happier now that she was saved by her friend.
Correct. So I actually have two thoughts about the whole thing with the old man right here, which is interesting. Now, first of all, the actor who plays this old man, we've talked about him numerous times, and I'm still shocked that he was 60 when they made this movie, because he does not look that he's only in his 60s.
His hand alone. Like, if you want to know how old someone is, always look at their hands. You can see the wrinkles in your hands. Most people don't do anything about that or can't hide it. That's one of the ways I look at myself, and I'm like, ah, wrinkly hands! Wrinkly hands! I've got wrinkly hands! How are my hands wrinkly? They're wrinkly.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
I never thought of it from that perspective.
But do it though. If you're questioning someone's age and you kind of want to get closer in for whatever reason, look at their hands.
Okay, but in this case, we're also dealing with an actor, so it is possible that they have a lot of makeup and stuff like that.
True.
I mean, the actor who plays the old man is named Michael Gorin. We've talked about him in the past, so I'm not gonna go back and rehash it. But again, he was only 60 when this movie came out, and you know, he does not look like he was 60.
No.
He looks a lot older than that. And it's just really, really interesting. to think about that. But do you think that he is crying? What do you think?
I think he's trying to stop himself from crying. I think he's trying to. I think that's why he's covering his eyes. I think he doesn't want anybody to see. Or maybe he's, you know what? Let me back this up. Maybe he's covering his eyes and covering his face because he doesn't want to look at what is around him right now, and he's trying to gather himself and trying to get himself together. Like we said before, kind of not ostriching necessarily, but gathering himself so he doesn't fall apart. Because we all have different coping mechanisms and
Okay.
different ways that we, yeah. And in situations like this that you cannot foresee happening, we don't know how we'll react either. It's like the fight, flight, or freeze type thing. So here, maybe that's all he's trying to do. Maybe he's just trying to get pull himself together and hold it together. Or he's just doing the, I can't believe this is what's happening to me. I've made it to be this old and I'm gonna die like this. I think it's probably one or the other.
Okay, so I'm going to even go a completely different direction with this,
All
but I'm
right.
going to continue with what you're saying and take it to a completely different direction. So, again, we don't know anything about this old man besides the fact that he's an old man. Okay,
Yeah.
I've always seen him as an old Jewish man. You know, whether he is or isn't, we will never know. It's all speculation here. Okay, now there is a Jewish prayer that people say, I mean, we say it twice a day in prayer. It's called the Shema. I don't know if you've ever heard of it or anything like that.
I
And
have.
okay, so the idea of Shema, you say it twice a day, basically talking about the fact that that God is one. That's what it comes down to. All right. Now, it is also a prayer that people say when they think they're about to die.
Oh, that
Okay,
makes sense.
and when you say the Shema, you put your hand over your eyes. You cover your eyes when you say it.
Oh, I love that.
And just
Oh.
looking at this little scene makes me believe that that's possibly what he's doing. Again, I have no
100%.
proof. I have no proof either way. This is complete speculation, but you know, the idea is that you know, a lot of times when Jews feel that they're in a situation where they're about to die, then they're supposed to say, this is supposed to be the last thing that you say. You know, I mean, I know that in Catholicism, you know, you have the whole thing of last rites and things like that, but that's someone else saying it to you. I don't know if there's any particular prayer that you're supposed to say when you think you're about to die. Maybe it's just you're supposed to ask for confession at that time or something like that. That I don't know. But the idea is, I mean, this is a 6-word prayer that Jews say twice a day, and that you're supposed to say when you're in a situation where you feel you're about to die. Now, I know people that when they're, you know, sick in the hospital and they're about to die also, then you say it with the person and things like that. Like this is supposed to be, I guess, in some ways, talking about the fact that you still believe in God, even though you're now you believe that you're going to be meeting God very shortly. You know, that type of thing.
Yeah.
And watching him put his hands over his eyes and take his hand down, it makes me think that that's possibly what's going on here.
That makes
Again,
total sense. It's also in New York. New York's a melting pot, and I mean, he could totally be a Jewish man. Absolutely.
right.
That makes total sense. I love that. I really love that. I like your story better than mine.
Okay, well, again, I have that insight because,
It could
you
be anything, but
know,
I like
because
yours.
I'm
So
Jewish
now
and
when
I
I
believe in
rewatch
it.
it.
So, you know, that's what it comes down to, but still.
He is a Jewish man now when I rewatch it
And he's
next.
using
I like your answer.
and he's using the correct hand also, because you use your right hand. You know, that's what it comes down to. Not even, you know, it's not that there are certain things that at least in Judaism, if you're righty, use your right hand. If you're a lefty, use your left hand. Sometimes vice versa. You know, sometimes you use your non-dominant hand. There's like all these different things, but for the Shema, you always use your right hand. So
Yeah.
again, it could be, or maybe it's not. I don't know. I'll leave it to the viewers to decide what they want about that. But I'm
This
gonna
is
believe
fun. I do know too. I do know too. My story's gone. Yours is better. I like it.
it. Okay. Where have you heard about the Shema? That makes me interested.
I have Jewish friends. And friends that have different cultures from me, I'm a curious person. I ask questions all the time as long as they're cool with answering them because I'm curious.
Okay.
So,
Okay.
yeah. Actually,
I'm
my
one of
partner,
those
my
Jewish
podcasting partner is. Yeah,
friends.
I know. My
So
podcasting partner is Jewish as well. So, yeah.
show him this scene and ask him if he what he thinks is happening there
She
without giving the hint. She,
Morgan,
I'm
but
sorry, I
yes.
apologize. She. Ask her if she knows what that is. And
I will. Awesome.
I'm curious. I'm gonna ask people now also because this only came to me right now when I just was looking at this as we're talking. It wasn't even something that I
Oh
planned.
yeah.
It's not on my notes or
And
anything like that.
it could have been something that the director said, go ahead and do, or perhaps he's a Jewish man and he did it on his own intuitively also.
Start
I mean,
thinking that,
there.
okay, this guy's in this situation, that's what he's gonna do. You know.
Yeah. See,
So yeah.
that's why breaking these kinds of movies down minute by minute is cool. Stuff like
Yes.
that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that. And then the shot changes and we see we're back to Tweedledum and Tweedledee just lying on the ground. One of them has his hand with the flashlight over his head, and the other one has the money bag over his head. It's great.
I love them so much. I love the choice to make them funny too. It doesn't take away from the movie. Like you said, I think you used the description of like it douses the flame a little bit in the last episode. That's a really, really good way to describe it because it doesn't take away from it, but it does take it down a notch a little bit and gives us a little bit of a break from the intensity. But these two are great. They are so great.
Yes, I love the way that they do this.
And then the conversation, like the way they're communicating back and forth with Patrolman James.
Right, exactly. And then basically Patrolman James just starts talking to them and he goes, "Hey, you guys." And one of them goes, "Christ, who's that?" Who does this sound
Bloody
familiar?
people are actually out here?
That's right. And then well, first of all, we know there's a lot of cops around there.
Yep.
And then they flash the flashlight in the direction of Patrolman James, who's on the ground also, and they shine it on his face. And he goes, "Transit cop." And he goes, "I got orders for you. Resume delivery on the double." And again, this goes back to what we were talking about numerous times this week, where we didn't see Patrolman James get this information,
No.
but it makes so much sense. And it just,
Yeah.
you know, the editing just works that, okay, we don't need to show you that. Just do it, and that's it.
No, because they did show all those lines of communications early on. It's like fast traveling, you know? It's we've been shown how they communicate with each other, so we already know they have that established. We don't have to see all the going in between as it goes on. It's just taking up time then, and it kills the pacing and the tension. So it totally works. We know that he's, like you said, we know that he's in communication with them. So yeah, he would have that information. It makes sense.
Yes. And after he gives them his instructions, one of the, you know, as they're getting up, one of them goes, "I don't suppose we could have that in writing."
I Oh gosh, these guys.
And the two of them stand up and start walking towards the train, and we're back in the train itself. We still hear the hostages crying out, you know, not really sure who's crying out and stuff like that. You know, I do you think it's like the boys that are crying, or you think it's like the mother of the boys or something, or because at
It
some
could
point
be.
it even sounds like it's a baby crying, which I know there's no baby there, but
I
still.
know. I thought I heard a baby too. I thought I heard a baby too. But you know, little kids, and they are little boys. Maybe them, or maybe just maybe one, maybe the mother, or maybe a woman who's kind of letting it go. I don't know. I don't know. The
Yeah.
kids uncontrollably crying makes the most amount of sense, I feel like, in that situation. I'm obviously inserting myself here, but in that situation, if you're a mother and you have two kids that you need to protect, I feel like you have to zone out your own emotions and be calm for
Right.
them. But I know that's not the case with, it's probably most likely the kids.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
And then,
But I heard like the baby sound too. I for a second was like, was there a baby I missed?
yes.
No. No, there's not.
Then Brown screams out and he goes, "Mr. Blue, we got a light."
Yeah, I was so nervous for Tweedledee and Tweedledum here. Literally nobody watching. Like, I don't know who you're 100% rooting for here. If you do kind of maybe want the bad guys to get away with it. Sometimes people like to root for the bad guys. I understand. But I
Right.
think everybody is collectively rooting for Tweedledee and Tweedledum to survive this.
That's true. And then they show us a shot of Tweedledum and Tweedledee walking towards them, and like one of them looks around, trying to like see, is someone following me? Like, what's going on around here? It's again, it's a great little shot, and they're also like shuffling along as they're doing this.
It doesn't kill the tension either. The humor
No.
does not kill the tension, not even in the slightest bit. If anything, it kind of amplifies it because you do draw empathy for them. You're like, no, these guys are just doing their job. They don't need to die today.
That's right. And then Blue does something very strange. He actually runs down from one side of the cab to the other. He like rushes down quite
Yeah.
quickly. To take a look to see if someone is actually showing up or anything like that. And then we get a shot from behind Tweedledum and Tweedledee as they're walking towards the cab. Like we see the cab in front of us, and we see their backs as they're walking. And then we see them flash the light on the ground.
Yeah, where
And
Bud is.
no, we first see Kaz Dalowitz on the
Oh, that's
ground,
right in front. Yep.
and then he flashes the one of them flashes the light on Bud's face afterwards. So you see both of the dead bodies on the ground. So that's also very telling and very interesting. And like one of them looks down as he's walking by.
Yeah,
And
because that's the point of no return. That's where you die.
that's right.
That's what we would call the
That
line right there.
is completely. Blue then says to Brown, "All right, open the door, would you, Mr. Brown?" And Blue sort of takes cover behind while he's doing that, while Green starts moving closer to see what's going on. And then Brown opens the door, and we see Tweedledum and Tweedledee get closer. We still can sort of see one of the bodies in the back on the ground as they're getting closer. And then Blue says, "All right, gentlemen, hands in evidence, please." Now, once again, and we talked about this earlier, I think last week, where Blue keeps using phrases that you wouldn't normally expect Americans to understand right away. So, like, why doesn't he change his colloquialisms to Americans? Like, even the fact that, a few weeks ago when he called the flashlight a torch, just
Yeah,
say a
yeah,
flashlight.
yeah. I was like, wait a minute. That's not, no, that's it. It took me a second, but yeah. Maybe, he's a little on the arrogant side though, too. He is. So that bravado of, no, I'm not going to hide my dialect. I'm not going to hide where I'm from. Feels like it makes sense to me that he wouldn't hide behind that.
Yes,
He thinks he's
but on the other hand, if you want the people to completely understand what it is that you're asking for, you want to use the like if I were to tell you something and I'm going to use a word that you're not going to understand, I would rather say something to you that you're going to completely understand right away. And if I know that colloquialist, I brought up this example, I think it was last week, the difference between like saying soda and pop. And things like that.
Yeah.
Like if
Yeah.
I, you being from the Midwest, if I were to say, can you get me a soda? Okay, you're not necessarily right off the hand gonna know that I'm talking about get me a Coke. You're gonna think maybe I want seltzer.
No, if I hear soda, you're right about the seltzer thing though too. I'm going to ask. But I think an even better example is if you're from the South where they do just call everything Coke.
Yeah,
That's a lot more confusing.
get me
Like
a
soda
Coke.
and pop, you
Well,
can
what
usually kind
flavor
of work
Coke do you
out.
want? Give me a
Yeah.
Coke. What flavor Coke do you want? I want a Sprite.
That was one of the biggest culture shocks for me the first time I went down south. I was like, "What? What is
Exactly.
happening?" Yeah.
Okay,
It's quite funny.
but that's my point. You're gonna, if you're gonna use colloquialism, I think you would normally, especially when you're giving demands for a hostage, for in the middle of a hijacking. You're going to use phrases that you know that everyone's going to completely understand, which is why
I
it's
think
important.
that for the most part, but I'm literally just looking for a reason here, and the only thing that I can kind of come up with is that it's kind of an arrogance. I think it's kind of an arrogance where he's assuming they'll work it out and it's up to them to figure it out for that.
Okay,
Yeah.
that's fair.
That might not be it. It just might be the way it is. And he might, and maybe it was even just Robert Shaw just ad-libbing his own. I'm not sure. I don't honestly know. But
Could
if there is a reason, I feel like based on the way his character behaves, that that would be the reason.
Okay.
If there's a reason.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like I said, that's fair. Have you ever heard the phrase hands in evidence?
No. And I read a lot of Irish and British writers too, and I've never ever heard that, but I like it.
Okay, so the phrase hands in evidence refers to using visual features of hands, such as their anatomical characteristics, fingerprints, vein patterns, or glove impressions,
Oh.
to identify or eliminate suspects in forensic investigations, particularly when other facial evidence is unavailable. So that's
Interesting.
really interesting that they would use that, he would say hands
Yeah.
in evidence type of thing.
Yeah. It might have been, and you know, all of it too could just be the writer wanting to be snazzy and use
Could be.
appropriate terminology for his character. It might have just been him or her, whoever the writer is.
No, it's him. It's him.
I thought so. Being, you know, correct in that way. It's possible that that's what it was too. Yeah.
That's definitely a
Yeah.
possibility. Now, one of the things that I like about the fact that he uses this phrase, which sort of changes what I've been talking about earlier about, that maybe he should use a language that people understand. Neither of them does anything at that point, and then he screams at them and goes, "Put up your hands." Meaning that,
Pete.
I didn't understand that you what you meant
Yeah.
by saying hands in evidence, so duh.
No, Tweedledee and Tweedledum didn't work it out, and I don't blame them. That one's
Well,
not
I gotta tell you,
like
some of
Torch, you can at least work that out. You can work out Torch. Like it took me a second, and I'm like, oh, he means a flashlight. But that one is a little bit more complex. I like it, but I like words and I like different language, so it's interesting to me. But I understand. You're a regular run-of-the-mill person? No.
Well, if I were to say to you hands in evidence, you also wouldn't know what the hell I'm talking about.
No, I absolutely wouldn't. I'd be like, I'd ask, what do you mean?
But if I were to say put up your hands, you would understand.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Some of them work out and some of them don't. This one didn't, but they made it work for the character, so.
Yes. So after he says that, the two of them quickly just lift up their hands,
Yeah.
and
They look terrified.
including, oh, they look completely terrified with everything. And then he says to them, "All right, throw the money up here." And we see Tweedledum is getting ready to lift up the bag of money to put it on the train. But both of these guys look completely out of their wits at this point, because they've just seen two dead bodies and don't know what, and one of them they saw get shot. So completely
Yep.
makes sense. And that's how this minute will end. So did you have anything else you wanted to say about this particular minute?
No, I think we kind of covered most of it.
All right, excellent. So now
Darn it, this means I have to play your game.
that is
All right, I'm
So
prepared.
now we will. Today's segment is a trivia game called 70s Trivia Potpourri, where I'm going to randomly give you five trivia questions about this movie, and you have to try and guess the answer. So we shall have to wait and see what the questions are going to be. So Heather, you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, so let's spin the wheel. And around and around and around the wheel goes. And let's see where it lands. What question is Heather going to get? Oh, she's going to get a question that she's probably going to know.
Hope so.
Okay. Over 67 million people in the US went to see this film when it was initially released in 1975, which was just under a third of the country's total population at the time, making it the very first summer blockbuster. What movie is that?
76?
75.
75. The French Connection?
67 million people went to go see this movie in 1975.
Taxi Driver?
67 million people went to go see this movie in 1975.
I don't remember.
What is the first summer blockbuster?
First summer blockbuster. I don't know.
You
I knew I was going to
know.
do terrible at this.
You do
I do know.
know. You know. You even use it on one
Jaws.
of your, very good. You use it on one of
Jaws.
your lists last
Jaws.
earlier.
I was thinking of crime movies. I was thinking of crime thrillers. Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
Yes.
Jaws. Duh.
It
Duh.
is Jaws, correct. All right, let's spin the wheel to find out what your second question will be. Okay, in the 1975 film Dog Day Afternoon, who played Al Pacino's lover?
Oh God, I don't remember. Oh, that was one of the movies that I was going through lists of this timeline too, and going, I need to rewatch because I haven't seen it in over 30 years, and I loved that movie. I don't remember. I don't remember.
Okay, his wife at the time became an Oscar-winning actress, and she's still acting these days. She still uses his last name, even though she was theoretically married to someone else for about 30 years before they broke up a few years ago.
She uses his last name, then I should know this, and I don't.
And you do. She was in a relationship for about 30 years with Tim Robbins.
Oh, no, I thought that was why can't I think of her name? Oh my God, why can't I think of her name? I'm having the brain fog. It's so much fun. Susan Sarandon.
Okay, so use that last name, and who is her husband who played this character in Dog Day Afternoon?
Who's Susan Sarandon's husband who played? Wait a minute, wait a minute. Ask me
Who
again, please.
was Susan Sarandon's husband in 1975?
I don't remember.
Think of The Princess Bride. You know the last name.
I do. Oh God, I do. Except I can't say it. Oh my God, do you see how hard it is to get to the thoughts in this mess of a brain? Oh my gosh, I'm literally pulling my hair out just so you guys know, because it's there somewhere. And I can't think of
Yeah, I see it all on the floor.
Oh, thankfully, I haven't gotten to the point where my hair is falling out on me yet, but I've probably got another year or two before that happens. I can't think of his freaking name, and I'm gonna use all the curse words.
Chris Sarandon.
Isn't that her son's name too?
Maybe.
Isn't her son? I
I
think her son's also Christopher. I think her son's also Christopher. No, I wasn't going to come to it on my own. And when I was trying to think of her, not even the name Angela Bassett is coming into my head. Not even in the same universe.
Nope.
That's what happens lately.
Yeah.
It's so fun.
All right. So let us move on to the next question for you.
I
And
hate
let's
this age.
spin the wheel. Around and around and around we go. And where's it going to land? Okay. In what 1978 movie did a college cafeteria food fight occur?
Animal House.
Very good.
Look, I'm a zit. Thankfully.
Bloop.
God. Thankfully, that was another one that I was inappropriate and I should have never been watching as a child, but
Yeah, I'm in that category too.
yep. That was on regularly in my house.
Yes. All right, so let's spin it again and see what else we get. Around and around and around we go. Okay. In the 1977 movie Smokey and the Bandit, who worked with Burt Reynolds and Jerry Reed in order to try to deliver a truckload of beer from Georgia to Texas?
Don't remember, and I literally just watched this not that long ago because my husband loves it. I love Smokey and the Bandit too, but I,
Wait, you
yep.
like Smokey and the Bandit 2, or you also like Smokey and the Bandit?
Also,
Because the truth is,
as
I like the
well.
second one better than the first. Because
Second one is fun too.
I love the derby that they have there.
Yeah,
The crash up derby of all those police cars.
it's a good time, but it's never a movie that I sit down
So
and I
who
just
is
like
the
pay a lot of
third
attention while I'm
star?
watching.
Who else is in the movie besides Burt Reynolds and Jerry Reed? Come on.
Sally Field is the only one I
Thank
can
you.
remember.
Thank you.
Oh, that was right. I was right then. It's
Yes,
like the Omen. I had the right answer and I couldn't say it.
yes. The answer
Sally
is
Field's my next
Sally.
memoir to read too. Yeah. I love her. Yeah, I'm a doofus. Thank you. I just need to be, my hand needs to be held while I do all of these.
Okay, now will you? This is your final question. Okay, so
Thank God.
you're gonna be let off after this.
Hold on, let me put my hand over my eyes.
You do that. Do that. Say this from out. All right. Okay. In the 1975 movie Jaws, the director, Steven Spielberg, named the shark what after his lawyer?
Literally just got into an argument with my
And his lawyer's
husband
name was
about
not
this.
John McClane.
I know this too because I was arguing with my husband. We had the discussion of he had never seen Jaws, and my
I think you need to get those divorce papers signed quickly.
no, it's so fun getting to show him all this, but we were going through shark movies with my youngest son. So I think we were at like Jurassic World or something, and we saw the preview for the 50th anniversary, and my son was like, oh, I want to see that. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Awesome. So we all sat down and watched it. But I was trying to explain to them that I thought that there was all the mystery of the shark with the second movie being the same shark, but it's not. I can't think of his name. I know this. I do, but I can't think of its name.
You want me to tell you what letter it starts with?
Yes,
It
please.
starts with a B.
That should have been it. That should have gotten me there, and it didn't. Nope, I'm not going to get to it on my own, and now I'm going to kick myself.
The next letter is an R.
I hate my brain. I couldn't
The
save myself right
next
now.
letter is a U.
It's not Brutus, is it?
No, it is not.
No, it's not Brutus. That's all I can think of now, though. It's Brutus. A2 Brutus.
The next letter is a C.
I'm silently cursing.
Write it out. Write it out. What are the four letters
That's
I just
actually
gave
not a
you?
bad idea. Oh, it's Bruce. And now I remember what I told them because I was like, hey, the shark's name is Bruce. And then I was explaining to them that in Finding Nemo, the shark's name that was Bruce, played by Eric Bana, was named Bruce as a callback to Jaws.
Yes, that is correct.
But I couldn't pull it out when I needed it for the freaking trivia game. No, but I had the information that my son and my husband didn't need and didn't care to have about Finding Nemo.
Yes.
Welcome to my brain, everyone. So I hope you all enjoyed my suffering.
Okay, so
Thank you for helping me, Rob.
you're very welcome. Let's try to help you redeem yourself by playing once again the daily game of Name That Remake. So let's spin the
That
wheel.
too.
Yes. Let's spin the wheel and see what we get. Around and around and around the wheel goes. Okay, so the original came out in 1977 and the remake in 2005. And it's about a married couple who, due to financial problems, decide to become bank robbers.
Okay, well, that sounds like Bonnie and Clyde, but that's not Bonnie and Clyde.
And Bonnie and Clyde was in 67, not 77.
Yeah. That's just, I'm just talking myself through it. What couple become bank robbers together? And it's a remake.
There is a remake of the
2005? Yeah,
Yes.
2005. I feel like that might be easier to get to for some reason. What movies came out then? What was I doing then?
So the original movie starred Jane Fonda and George Segal. And the remake is Jim Carrey and Tia Leone.
Oh gosh, what is the darn name of it? The remake I didn't like. I didn't like at all, but I watched the original with my mom, because that's what I watch most of my movies with. Is it the in-laws? No, it's
No,
not the
they're
in-laws. It's not the
from.
in-laws. It's not the in-laws. It's not the in-laws. I am now thinking of Serpentine, Serpentine.
That's right.
It's so great. It's one of my favorite moments in the movie. I just can't think of the name. I know the movie. I've seen both of them. I've seen both of them. And I like Tia Leone, but she always plays annoying characters. And Jim Carrey's not good in it. I can't think of the freaking name. It's not the Robinsons. What the frig is it? I'm cursing and sweating.
Are you not having fun?
This is torture. This is torture. It's torture because I know that I know the answer. That's why. If I just don't know the answer, I'm totally fine with it. It's when I know it and I can't remember it. And I am of an age where my memory is starting to go, and I'm trying to peacefully accept that, but I'm not doing a very good job, clearly. I can't think of the
I'm
name.
going to ask you again, are you having fun?
Oh, you're giving me a clue. I'm still not getting there. This is almost as bad as Bruce. It's not as bad as Bruce, but it's in the same wheelhouse. Oh gosh, oh gosh, oh gosh, oh gosh. On the tip of my tongue. Fun with Dick and Jane.
Perfect. Nicely done.
Thank you. Thank you. I love the original. I love the
Yeah, I
original.
think the original
It's
is a lot of fun.
yeah, the remake is bad. Don't watch it.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, Heather, would you like to one more time tell people where they can find Heather Baxendale?
Right, here I am browbeaten trying to be uppity. You can find me at heatherbaxendale.com. You can find all of my books there. You can find both of my podcasts there. And you can find all of my social media there. Follow at your own risk.
All right. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Around Minute. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on my website, moviearoundminute.com. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to moviearoundminute@movierob.net. So, Heather, you feel like being a glutton for punishment and come back again tomorrow for one more episode with no trivia. Just a one name that remake. That'll be it.
I am excited to redeem myself, sir.
Perfect. Very happy to hear that. All right, so until tomorrow, achoo!
Tight.